From the City of Angels, near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, Templar Treasures. Looking forward to that. Here's what's happening. The unsolved investigation of the 1971 hijacking of a Seattle-bound airliner and the disappearance of the suspect, dubbed D.B. Cooper, is now officially one for the history books, folks. The Federal Bureau of Investigation has announced it was closing the case, reasoning that its crime-fighting resources would be better used elsewhere. Now, this decision on the case of D.B. Cooper, a moniker given to the skyjacker by the media after he vanished, ensures the saga will likely endure as one of America's great unsolved mysteries. It began back on November 24, 1971, when a dark-haired man who called himself Dan Cooper, dressed in a business suit and tie, and believed to be in his mid-40s, boarded a Northwest Orient Airlines flight to Portland, Oregon, bound for Seattle. After takeoff, the man handed a flight attendant a note claiming he had a bomb in his briefcase and opened it to show a mass of wires and red sticks, according to the FBI's account of the incident. The aircraft landed safely in Seattle, where the man freed the 36 passengers in exchange for $200,000 in cash from the airline and four parachutes, but kept several crew members aboard as the plane took off again and ordered this time to fly to Mexico City. But at some point during the flight, at an altitude of about 10,000 feet, the man executed one of the most flamboyant getaways in criminal history. He jumped out of the back of the jetliner into the night with a parachute and the ransom money. He was never seen again. Years later, some young boy out there in the Columbia River area found a package of $20 bills matching the ransom money serial numbers. The FBI, for decades, interviewed hundreds of people. They have some suspects, but they were never able to convict or charge. Bernie Sanders has officially endorsed Hillary Clinton, capping off a presidential primary and solidifying the former Secretary of State's hold on the Democratic Party. Meanwhile, Democratic presidential hopeful Clinton extended her lead over Republican rival Donald Trump to 13 percentage points in a Reuters opinion poll released on Tuesday, up from 10 points at the end of last week. And the Stop Trump movement isn't dead yet. Ohio Governor John Kasich could be their last hope. A number of Republicans opposed to Donald Trump are going to try to push Kasich to step up as an alternative as a candidate ahead of the party's convention in Cleveland. Let's check in with Dr. John Curtis, onlinecolumnist.com. First of all, John, the endorsement by Bernie Sanders of Hillary Clinton after he called her unfit to serve, what is this?
Well, I mean, Bernie is lost, and now he'd be better off, honestly, joining Mitt Romney and Lindsey Graham and Jeb Bush, the Stop Trump movement at the convention, than endorsing Hillary Clinton. Because if you really listen to what he said, there was no ringing endorsement of Secretary Clinton, only talk about we must defeat the common enemy, Donald Trump. So I would say that while Hillary was bathing in what she thought was praise from Sanders, it was really a backhanded compliment, because really the only thing he's saying is that he's determined to do everything he can to defeat Trump.
And now the poll showing that Clinton is leading Trump by 13 points. Your take on that?
Well, that's an outlier. That Reuters Ipsos poll is an outlier poll. And when you factor in the probably 12 other polls that they use, the aggregate polling is Hillary up by 4.5%. So it's still close to within the margin of error. And I think, she's had a bad week or so because of, James Comey and, like you asked me last week, well, does it help her or hurt her that she's not going to be indicted? Well, I'm sure she's relieved that there's not going to be any charges filed. Certainly, Loretta Lynch jumped very quickly on the bandwagon, even though the State Department is opening up another kind of token investigation. But I think for the most part, it is beating a dead horse on this email. It's certainly the Benghazi stuff.
And lastly, John, this push to try to jump Trump at the convention.
That pushes, a few disgruntled delegates that, you know, think that somehow they're going to, you know, cause a riot there and a mutiny, and it just isn't going to happen. I mean, Rens Priebus is very much in charge right now of the agenda for this, and they're going to get first ballot commitment by all of those delegates to vote for Trump. It'll put him over the top on the first ballot.
Okay, that's Dr. John Curtis, onlinecolumnist.com. Thank you, John. President Obama joined the Dallas community to honor the memories of the five police officers killed last week by a sniper in Dallas, saying they answered the call to protect fellow Americans. The people of Dallas, people all across the country, he says, are suffering. The president said this at the memorial service, where even former President George W. Bush and others spoke, simply saying all of us are wounded and suffering. It truly was a remarkable speech that he gave. Russian President Vladimir Putin has taken a page out of Joseph Stalin's book and has sacked every commander in his Baltic fleet. As many as 50 senior officers, including a vice admiral, have been purged by Putin amid reports that they refused to confront Western ships. Listen to that one. A chilling moment of 22 schoolgirls aged between 12 and 15 suffering mass demonic possession after playing a game of Charlie Charlie. The children were screaming, withering, hallucinating, and some were even foaming at the mouth. One victim claimed she could see a man dressed in black while possessed, and locals are praying against witchcraft as authorities warn against playing the game. The traumatic incident happened on Saturday in a region of Colombia which borders Panama. Be very careful. This is a game, Charlie Charlie, which is a simplified version where teenagers use balanced pencils to produce answers, almost like a Ouija board. Using a telescope at the top of Mauna Kea in Hawaii, scientists have discovered a new dwarf planet in our solar system, a body of about 435 miles across that lacks a name, and the researchers still know very little about this. But what else is going on in the skies? Let's check in with Stephen Cates, Dr. Sky. Hey, Stephen.
Hi, George. Great things happening as always in the sky. And this week, we shift our gear to visible satellites. This coming into us just recently, China may have actually lost control of the Tiangong-1 space station. And recently, people were saying, and this is all over the internet, that NASA shut down a live International Space Station feed as the mysterious UFO enters the atmosphere. The footage is quite fascinating. Some speculate that it might be the visibility of this Tiangong-1. But, George, this is interesting. If the listeners go to our website, drsky.com, just click on the satellite locator link on the left. Plug in your city. And I watch this regularly, but here's the news from the ground as far as what may be happening with China's Tiangong-1 spacecraft. Astronomers, space scientists say that it may be in a slow roll and that its solar panels are pointing away from the sun. What does all this mean? It means that we may be seeing a fiery reentry of this particular object. Who knows? Maybe within weeks, maybe within months, but something definitely is amiss with that particular object. But as we move on in the live sky, this is something great for the listeners to view. If you go out over the next few nights, tomorrow night and into the weekend, you'll see the moon passing, George, very close to these beautiful bright planets, Mars, a conjunction of the moon and Mars. Then a few nights later, a conjunction of the moon and the planet Saturn. All this visible with the naked eye. Telescopes and binoculars will help you. But finally, here's something very interesting. 1 month from tonight, we're going to experience another of the great Perseid meteor showers. Scientists are saying that we may be going through a deeper ribbon of material, which may double, and I said double, the rates of this particular Perseids for 2016. So kind of a neat heads up on this. The night of the night of August the 11th and into the morning of the 12th and into the 13th, George, may be the best nights to view this and into the morning. And, of course, we'll be updating you on all this and all the wonderful things as we remind everybody to always keep their eyes to the skies.
Thank you, Stephen. Nearly 100 sharks washed up on an Alabama beach, leaving the locals and vacationers stunned. Close to 100 bull sharks washed ashore on the Mobile Bay Beach. The community is just looking for answers there. They just have no idea what's going on. For at least 7 centuries, monkeys in Brazil have been opening cashews using sophisticated and effective tools, according to scientists at the University of Oxford. What's more, the primates may have been using them even far longer than that. How about that? In a moment, Judge Jim Gray back on Coast to Coast. We're going to talk about why our drug laws have failed. We're going to talk about what's going on around the presidential campaign and so much more next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. James Gray has been a trial judge in Orange County, California since 1983. Now, before becoming a judge, he served as a volunteer in the Peace Corps in Costa Rica, staff judge advocate and criminal defense attorney in the Navy JAGS Corps, and a federal prosecutor in Los Angeles, and a civil litigator attorney in private law practice. In addition, he was a Republican candidate for U.S. Congress in 1998 and a Libertarian candidate for the U.S. Senate in 2004. And, Judge, what a time to bring you in to talk about what's going on in this world. Unbelievable.
Oh, George, and it's true, and it's nice to be back with you and your audience. You know something? You pursue the truth, and that's really all we need as libertarians, to just discuss the truth. And if you look at the truth today in our world politically, it's scary. But we have, as libertarians, the two best, simply most qualified people that have actually ever been in this election, much less are still remaining in it, and Governor Gary Johnson and Governor Bill Weld. So it's nice to be with you.
They're not getting a lot of mainstream publicity, Judge. How come?
Well, we actually are. You know, we are starting to get in national shows, national discussions. The key is we must be a part of the presidential debates in September and October.
Yes.
And unfortunately, that's completely, completely bottled up and controlled by the Republicans and Democrats. The so-called Commission on Presidential Debates has five directors as Democrats, five directors as Republicans, and they actually have their documents that say this is a bipartisan effort to secure Democrat and Republican information to the people instead of from any other voices. So the League of Women Voters left that after being frozen out, saying that we will not be a part of the hoodwinking of America, and America has been hoodwinked ever since. And it's up to you, George, and your listeners and people like you to get the truth out there and bring honest information to the voters, which is not controlled by the Democrats and Republicans.
Well, we are working on it, Judge. You know, I was interested in presidential information and after John F. Kennedy was assassinated in 1963. At that age, I was 13 years old, I just wanted to know as much as I could. And I watched every presidential election after that to where we are now. And I have never, never experienced one as bizarre as this one right now. How about you?
Well, it's a perfect storm, actually. We could not, as libertarians, come up with worse candidates for the Republicans and Democrats, or at least the presumptive candidates. It's scary for the country. It's perfect for us. But, you know, we have scandal beladen in the Democratic nominee, and the Republican is a bully. But we have two former Republican governors of Democratic states, New Mexico and Massachusetts, that worked successfully and well with people of other political views, and they were able to do good things, and now they are the two Libertarian candidates for president and vice president. It's an exciting time, George, and I think you would agree with that.
Oh, absolutely. Now, I don't know, Judge, if they will get enough votes to win the election, but I think they could get enough to really make this election flip somehow. What do you think?
Well, you know, it's true. And if you look at the 12th Amendment, and that's not necessarily on everybody's radar, but it says that in the event that in the Electoral College that either the Democratic or Republican nominees do not get a majority, it would be thrown to the House of Representatives. And actually, John Quincy Adams was the only election that we have had in our country's history that this has happened, but it could go to the House of Representatives, and then each state would only have one vote. And I cannot see, and you can't either, no one can else, any Republican member of Congress voting for Hillary Clinton or any Democratic member of Congress voting for Donald Trump.
That's right.
They all could vote for Governor Gary Johnson, who's in the mainstream of American political politics today. He is both financially responsible, and no one can accuse the Democratic or Republican nominees of that, and also socially accepting, socially inclusive, and no one can really accuse either of the candidates there either. He's in the mainstream. So we just need to get this word out, and it's nice to be with you for this time to discuss. You ask me anything about Governor Gary Johnson and the Libertarian candidates, and your audience will be pleased with the answers.
And we're going to talk about that and so much more. Your work, of course, about the war on drugs, which we both know, Judge, is not working at all, is it?
No. You know, if it comes to it, George, the biggest oxymoron in our world today is the term controlled substances, because as soon as you prohibit any substance, you give up all of your controls to really some unsavory people. You know, Mexican drug cartels, juvenile street gangs, people of that kind. So if you regulate and control them and tax them, you bring the control back to the government, and that's where we need to go. That's what Governor Gary Johnson would certainly do. We in California have an initiative on the ballot here in this November to, in effect, treat marijuana like wine, just like Colorado, Washington, Alaska, and D.C., Oregon have done. We're going to turn this around. Hear ye, folks, and I love that as a former judge. Hear ye. Vote in favor of those initiatives to take this control away from the federal government that's acting like a bunch of thugs in a lot of ways, and bring it back to local control, and we will turn this around.
Some people say if you legalize drugs, you're going to create all these drug addicts. I think the other way will happen. I think people will not use it as much.
Well, you know, and that's what they've found in Portugal, which actually decriminalized. How many people listening to us know what the experience has been in Portugal in the last 10 or 15 years? In 2001, Portugal decriminalized all drugs, and the Cato Institute came out with a survey and study thereafter and found that drug usage has remained constant, but problem drug usage has gone down by 50%, George. 50%. Why?
Huge.
Because now people are no longer afraid of their government, so they bring their problems to the government and they actually help these people. And actually, teenage drug usage has gone down, and deaths on the highways has also gone down, because I think we all understand that marijuana, sure, it can be intimidating and problem oriented, but it's less than alcohol. Problem drug usage has gone down, and deaths on the highway has gone down in Portugal by 10%. This is where we're headed, and hooray for that.
Well, you would think, Judge, that common sense would prevail, and that these candidates...
Since when?
I know, but I mean, we're going to get into everything, the economy, taxes, and you would just simply think mere common sense. If you give the American people more of their own money, they're going to spend it. They're going to invest it. Don't tax them to death. But nobody seems to get it. The libertarians do.
George, government is money. And there's huge, mind-boggling amounts of money involved in the war on drugs. You know, we have the federal government today simply bribing the city police forces and the rest with, they call it, government grants, burn grants of a couple of $1 billion a year, but they must spend that money on drug prohibition. And we also have this civil asset forfeiture stuff where the police forces and law enforcement receive huge amounts of money from forfeiting monies from local citizens. So it's really money, and that's the problem. And you and your audience need to understand this, and you do, and we need to turn this around. Governor Gary Johnson, Libertarian candidate for president, will do that. He's a hero for our times.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've gotten so many emails, Judge, from people who have said, you talk a lot about the Democrats, you talk a lot about the Republicans, and I know you're not dealing in the political spectrum. You're talking about the strangeness of the election, and that's what Coast to Coast is. But how about the libertarians? So here you are. It's about time, huh?
Well, I'm proud to be a libertarian. You know, we are...
You were a Republican. You switched.
American political thought. We are both financially responsible, as we said, and socially inclusive, and we stand for liberty. George, What is the soul of the United States of America? And the soul is our liberties and our freedoms, and they are under attack today by our very own government, and it's only the libertarians that stand up for the founding fathers and our principle and our soul. And I'm proud to be a libertarian, and I think anyone else that addresses this would be too.
We're going to take some calls with you next hour, Judge, but I've got much more to talk with you about when we come back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Now, we're dedicating that song to a Coast Insider, Carrie Ann, of course. Carrie, thank you so much. She was part of our chat tonight for Coast Insiders and said, hey, it's my birthday. Would you play this? So we did. There you go. Happy birthday. And welcome back, Judge Jim Gray with us. Jim, what would you define a libertarian as?
You know, that's pretty straightforward, and a lot of people ask the question, and thank you. Thomas Jefferson was the ultimate libertarian, and he said, quote, I don't care if you worship one god, 20 gods, or no god. It doesn't pick my pocket, and it doesn't break my leg. In other words, live and let live. That's what libertarians are, and most people, if you think about it, are exactly that way.
This could be the best time for a third-party candidate to win, don't you think?
Oh, my goodness. It is a perfect storm for us. It is really scary for the country. I could never vote for Hillary Clinton for anything. You know, everywhere she's gone, there's scandal. And Donald Trump, I mean, who knows where he sits on almost anything. He's been successful to some degree, started with a lot of money, and he still has some, but he's a bully. And you ought to listen to the quote from Dwight David Eisenhower. George, maybe you remember him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said,
sure,
when
do.
He was president, you know, it was much better when I was a general because I'd tell people to do things and they would. But as president, they won't. Donald Trump is a bully. He's been successful and he can still be in his own profession and his conglomerates. But you can't do that when you're president. Governor Gary Johnson, Governor Bill Weld, again, were Republican governors in Democratic states. They worked well with people of differing political views. They are the best candidates for the future of our country. Look into your listeners, you know, they're aware, they're inquisitive insiders. All we need to do is have people like your listeners to look into the choices they have, and they will be proud to have voted for Governor Gary Johnson for president, Governor Bill Weld for vice president. I stand on that, and it's nice to be able to talk about it. Ask me anything.
You know, yet the Democrats and the Republicans, with Trump, with Clinton, are amassing the huge majority of the votes. Why?
Well, you know, I was the vice presidential nominee for the Libertarian Party in 2012, George, as you know, and I would represent to you that probably 80% of the people that went to the polls in November of 2012 didn't even know who we were.
I agree.
And that's just a problem. And I told Governor Gary Johnson I was looking forward to being the vice presidential nominee this time too, but I told Gary, look, if you can find somebody to get our message out better than I can, go with that person, him or her. And he actually found someone to the degree that throughout the entire 2012 election process, I was never on any national shows. But Governor Weld, when he agreed to run with Governor Gary Johnson, has been on 20 shows just in the 2 weeks prior to the Libertarian Convention. So he's able to get the word out. If we just get this word out, and that's what we're doing this evening, look at them. You know, mm-hmm. Johnson Weld 2016, Google it. Look into them. They have the best program, the best choices. Immigration, education, financial responsibility, do away with crony capitalism, you know, having the government support their various crony supporters. This is not going to happen under a libertarian administration, and we will put in a coalition government, George. Yes, anyone that agrees with us, who is financially responsible, socially inclusive, and stands for liberty, whether they're Democrats, Republicans, Libertarians, Independents, they will have a place in our administration.
Well, that's smart.
We'll work together for people, for America. It is a wonderful process. Just get the word out, and you will be proud voting for these people.
I've always thought a smart presidential candidate would pick the best people for his administration, regardless of their party.
Precisely what we'll do, you know, and then when we have problems, Republicans, Democrats, whatever, we'll talk to some of our colleagues saying, you know, you're a Democrat, you're a Republican, go talk to your colleagues, get them on board, we'll give credit to anybody that has a good idea, anybody that supports a good idea. This is what the nation needs, and I'm excited to be a part of that process.
Are you on the ballots on every state and Puerto Rico?
Yes, sir. Actually, I can't answer for Puerto Rico. I assume so. But we should very well be on the ballots in all 50 states. And honestly, in 2012, we were on the ballots in 50 states until the Republican Party went around the country, filed lawsuits in 10 states to kick us off the ballot. They were successful in two of them. One was Michigan, one was Oklahoma, but I, you know, for various reasons. But I'm convinced that we'll be on the ballots in all 50 states, unlike any other third party, and we will present people a positive choice that they will be proud of. And I'm just excited to be able to discuss these things.
What are you going to do about the tax code?
Okay. You know, the tax code today is outrageous. It causes huge amounts of money, bureaucracy, and we must simplify it. If I were king, you know, King James has kind of a ring to it, but hasn't caught on yet. But we can go to a flat tax, we could go to a consumption tax, much simplified, and be able to do away with all of this crony capitalism stuff. And you know, George, who's against it? Okay, sure. The tax accountants, the tax attorneys, H&R Block does not like the idea of simplifying the tax code, and that's one group, and that's fair.
Right. It's their business.
The second group is, it's the members of Congress, George, because they get huge political power by voting for huge tax breaks for their wealthy crony constituents. They don't want to change the system. We will. And it will help everybody. So now you can make business decisions for business reasons instead of tax reasons, personal decisions for personal reasons instead of tax reasons. This will be accomplished by the libertarians in office.
And do away with all these crazy deductions. Just go to some kind of flat tax, or I like the use tax myself.
Sure. And that's exactly what will happen. But we'll have to go over the heads of the members of Congress to the people. You know, we the people will then be able to look at your members of Congress and say, if you don't vote for this, we know you're standing for your own personal benefit instead of ours, and we're going to have a conversation with you. We the people will take control of the government back with Governor Gary Johnson for president.
I've always believed, Judge, that if we eliminated terrorism, and one way you would do that is just to stop meddling in other countries' affairs, that this higher group of what I will call black ops government people would create an issue in order to keep wars going. And even so, even if all the so-called real terrorists out there stopped doing what they were doing, I think these special interest groups would keep it going.
You know, George, you're right. I already mentioned on how much money is involved in the drug war, and so much money, mind-boggling amounts of money, are involved in terrorism and world instability. We have destabilized the Middle East. You know, going into Iraq was the biggest mistake of my lifetime, and I said so at the time, and I still say so. And we're making people mad at us, you know. Look,
they hate us.
If a drone were to kill my brother, and I don't care if, you know, I'm in Libya or Syria or wherever, and I was a terrorist or he was an innocent bystander, I tell you, I know myself, I would vow vengeance. I will revenge. And we are creating more terrorists than we are ever killing or taking out of commission by this adventurism in these various countries. And there's a lot of money in it, but it is simply harming the special interest, the national interest of our country. We've got to stop this.
Yeah, absolutely. I think because we've chopped up Iraq anyway, give a portion of it to the Palestinians so they could have a homeland.
Well, that's a different issue. You know, the Palestinians must have their own boundaries so that they can live, thrive in peace. And the only way we will do that for Israel, and I believe that Israel should be able to thrive within its national boundaries and live in peace, but we've got to do the same thing for the Palestinians.
Yes,
the government of the United States of America is unbalanced, and we've got to turn that around and create a foundation so that the Palestinians and Israelis can sit down with each other and work out these problems. I'm a judge. I'm now doing mediations and private interest to resolve disputes. This can be done. I don't know if you've been in the Holy Land, George, but we can resolve those disputes. It shouldn't be that hard, but we're not doing it at the moment.
Well, that's part of the other issue too, Judge. Everybody wants a peace of Jerusalem, and I don't know how you're going to be able to do that.
Well, those problems go back for decades and centuries.
Centuries.
And we must understand the distinction between a solution, because there's no solution for this, and a resolution, and be able to get the Palestinians and the Israelis and others to sit down with themselves, to be able to hack out, to be able to resolve these issues. It can be done, but it's only getting worse under today's environment.
The people that are going to go into the voting booth on November 8th will be able to pick Hillary probably, Trump probably, and Gary Johnson. What percent do you realistically think Johnson might get?
Okay. Realistically, if we're not in the presidential debates, we will be also-rans, because we will not be seen as viable.
Okay.
And people, when it comes down to it, are scared and will vote against another party.
Sure.
They'll vote for the lesser of two evils. If we are in the debates, people will see that there's a viable alternative. There's somebody they can vote for. If we could just take 3, 4, maybe 5 states, then the 12th Amendment, it's not really on everybody's radar, but the 12th Amendment says that unless you get a majority in the Electoral College, the election is thrown to the House of Representatives. And again, it was John Quincy Adams that won the only time in our history. But we could
win the election through
the House of Representatives.
So you think that's your best bet?
Yes, I do. I do as a practical matter. And I'm convinced if it goes to the House of Representatives that Governor Gary Johnson will emerge as the President of the United States of America, and happily so.
So Ross Perot, when he ran, gave the election to Bill Clinton because, you know, he took enough votes away from Bush Sr.
That's the fear that among numbers of Republicans and my friends, they think, you know, if we were to vote instead of voting for the Republican Donald Trump, which scares me, we'd vote for Gary Johnson, that would simply elect Hillary Clinton. But, you know, we have seen this time and again that in the polls that Governor Gary Johnson takes fully as many votes away from the Democrat Hillary Clinton as he does from Donald Trump. Because we are classic liberals. You know, we are not in favor of crony capitalism. I mean, Bernie Sanders and we are really, really together, except on financial issues. But crony capitalism, all these wars, the war on drugs, you know, the entrepreneurship that goes against the people's interest, the surveillance by the government, all this sort of stuff. We are classic liberals, and we need to get that word out.
How do you explain Donald Trump's amazing popularity?
You know, it's not hard. People are dissatisfied, in fact, angry with Washington. And Donald Trump has garnished the anger vote. And I'm angry, too. You know, I'm not in favor of people in Washington. They have steered our country in the wrong direction. Donald Trump has garnered the anger vote. The problem is, George, as you know, anger is not a strategy. You know, I can register my anger, but then where does it take us? Governor Gary Johnson is also angry, but he has a strategy. He was able to do this successfully in his 2 terms as governor of New Mexico. Immigration, you know, my goodness sakes, it's not that hard. If you were to have a work visa handed out pretty liberally to people that want to come to our country, pursue the American dream, and can support themselves or even support their families, bless them and have them come in here. Yes, after a background check for criminal justice and mental health and terrorism issues, but let them come here. But no welfare attached. And that's the key. So that if they work here, they work hard, and most want to, let them be here and let them thrive.
And most do work hard.
And not, will probably go back somewhere else.
I mean, I've seen people here, Judge, in the Los Angeles area, and you know they must be immigrants because their English is broken, that they're some of the hardest working people I've ever seen.
Good for you. You know, I was in the Peace Corps in Costa Rica, and I care about people from Latin America. They come here, they roll up their sleeves, just like our ancestors. They want to have a better life for themselves and their children, and they do not come here for welfare. We teach them welfare, which is a diabolical thing to do. No welfare attached, but you come here and you work, and you can come to our country and bless you. And that's what we do. But I can tell you also, the Democrats and Republicans give lip service to changing our system, this failed system of immigration, but they don't want to. Why? Because numbers of high-ranking Republicans love the idea of the cheap labor where they can take advantage of people, and a number of high-ranking Democrats love the idea that all these people will come into our country eventually voting for Democrats. So I can prove to you and your listeners they don't want to change the system. Why? Because if they wanted to, they would have done it decades ago. We will change away from this failed and unfair immigration system and issue these work visas, and things will really smooth out. You don't need a wall, for heaven's sake. We will do it this way.
There will be a push at the Republican convention to get Ohio Governor John Kasich in. What do you think of that?
You know, at least Kasich has some administrative experience. He's been a pretty successful governor of Ohio, and bless them.
And seems like a good guy.
You know, I think so, too. I have some quarrels with him on drug policy and immigration, but I'll be interested in seeing who Mr. Trump chooses. I don't think he's going to choose Kasich. Kasich is going to try to spearhead a movement to derail Trump.
Yeah.
But, you know, George, the system is rigged. You look at the Democrats with all of these super delegates. Where did that come from? And you look at the Republicans and trying to do away with the vote of the people. Where does that come from? It's really disillusioning. The big moneyed interests, the vested crony capitalist interests have co-opted our country. And I go back to Thomas Jefferson, who said, we need to have a bloody revolution every generation to keep the special interests at bay. Fortunately, the founding fathers gave us the tools where we don't have to have this to be a bloody revolution, but we can have this revolution, and now is the time. I'm convinced now is the time. Governor Gary Johnson is the most qualified person to be president, not only for what he says, but what he has done as governor of New Mexico, and Governor Bill Weld is the same. This is going to work. It's just darn right going to work, and I'm proud, again, to talk about it. It's exciting stuff.
Justice Ruth Ginsburg calls Donald Trump a fake, and just tonight he says she should resign because of that.
Oh, thank you
very much. It never ends.
You know, Bill Weld was asked on CNN to give a one-word description of Donald Trump, and he nailed it. And he said, huckster. And that covers it pretty much as well as anything I can think of. And if I were to give a one-word description of Hillary Clinton, it would be beholden. You know, she is so beholden to the moneyed vested interests. You think she's going to change Wall Street, change the big banks? She's received hundreds of millions of dollars from those folks. And you don't think there's hooks in each of those dollars? Governor Gary Johnson is the guy, George.
That's why I can't get Bernie Sanders' endorsement of her. He was so opposed to her, and now he's flip-flopped all of a sudden.
You know, he faces reality. If you look at his, you look at the language he used, he was against Donald Trump. I am too. And so he was mostly saying, we must simply keep Donald Trump from being elected president of the United States. And boy, do I agree with that. So, you know, he saw the only choice was Hillary Clinton. The choice is Governor Gary Johnson. We just, again, have to be in debates. Look.
Well, we're going to open up the phone lines, Judge. We're going to come back in just a moment. Final hour to go with you, and we're going to take calls.